Order.
Returning from their fortnight's adjournment, opposition MPs queued to quiz government ministers about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, or TPPA, signed in Atlanta last week, although Greens co-leader James Shaw was more interested in the topics on the table when the Prime Minister John Key meets his Australian counterpart later this week.
When he meets with Malcolm Turnbull, will he be requesting that Australia bring back to the mainland those New Zealanders being detained in offshore detention centres?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, yes, I will be raising the issue of New Zealanders being sent to detention centres, in particular the offshore processing centre of Christmas Island.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, James Shaw.
At the meeting, will the Prime Minister be requesting that Australia increase the imprisonment threshold for deportation of New Zealanders?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, well, obviously we'll have a wide-ranging discussion, but what is causing the problems are the changes that were made by the Australian Parliament late last year to effectively lower the mandatory cancellation of visas threshold, and on that basis, yes, we will be discussing that issue.
The Prime Minister John Key, whose first question about the TPPA came from opposition leader Andrew Little.
What advice has he received from the Trade Minister on our efforts to carve out protection for the right of New Zealand to limit foreigners buying existing homes, as Australia has done, as Malaysia has done, and as Singapore has done?
Speaker,
the Right Honourable
Speaker, Australia had those provisions prior to going into TPP. What the government did do as part of the carve-out that it wanted to follow, which was to allow extra taxes to be applied for foreigners who buy property in New Zealand if the government of the day deemed that to be possible. Why? Because that will work. What won't work is a ban on foreigners. It didn't work in Australia and it wouldn't work in New Zealand.
Mr Key's Trade Minister, Tim Grosser, also faced questions, including this one from his New Zealand First Party shadow, their spokesman on trade, Fletcher Tabateau.
Will he release the full details of the Trans-Pacific Partnership text immediately, given that the 12 Asia-Pacific countries have successfully concluded their negotiations?
The Honourable Tim Grosser.
Mr Speaker, the government will release the texts as soon as it possibly can, but it will not be a unilateral decision of the New Zealand government. This is a partnership between 12 countries, among 12 countries. And everyone has recognised that there is absolutely legitimate and intense interest in some quarters in seeing the whole picture. This is fully understood and we agree is a completely legitimate position. But we are waiting until our experts can reach an agreement that as much of the text that can be available, and on some estimates we're talking thousands of pages, will be released as soon as is humanly possible.
Question time was followed by a request for the Speaker, David Carter, to allow a snap debate on the TPPA.
I have also received a letter from the Leader of the Opposition seeking to debate under Standing Order 389 the government's announcement that it has concluded negotiation of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. The announcement is a particular case of recent occurrence involving ministerial responsibility. I understand that the text of the agreement is to be released to the public. Before the agreement is ratified, it will be subject to parliamentary treaty examination process set out in Standing Orders 397 to 400. I understand that legislation is also required to give effect to the agreement, which will again give opportunity for parliamentary debate. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is a significant agreement which should be debated by this House. There will be opportunities for parliamentary consideration of it in the future with the benefit of the text of the agreement and the national interest analysis. I am not convinced that at this stage the business of the House ought to be set aside to debate the matter.
The Speaker, David Carter, who then called for the first government bill of the day, which has the purpose of establishing a so-called mixed model governance structure for the Environment Canterbury part of the Canterbury Regional Council during the 2016-2019 local government term. Its first reading was fiercely opposed by the opposition, led by Labour's Christchurch MPs who were joined in voting against it by United Futures' Peter Dunn. His vote brought the opposition's total to 59, defeated by the combined 62 of National, the Maori Party and ACT. The bill was sent to the Local Government and Environment Committee, which has until February next year to report it back to the Chamber. I'm Tom Fruin, and this programme was brought to you with funding from Parliament.